Well, hello. How you doing, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your midweek Wednesday morning with Sports Radio TSN 1200. We're glad you're along for this fifth day of August 2020. J.R. Simmer, Bund is in for Hammer again this morning, and you are waking up to, we could see a few odd showers around this morning, but it is going to eventually clear out by this afternoon. We'll see some sunshine. And that will be a harbinger for the rest of the week, because there looks like nothing but sunshine right through the end of the weekend into next week. So it's going to turn nice, but we've had a run of pretty wet days. Today's high, by the way, later on will be a pretty comfortable 24. And as we sit here this morning at 6:07 in the morning, it is 17 degrees as we say good morning to the always chipper, Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
Excellent. Trying to get, I don't want to go with my biological clock, but trying to get my whole clock sorted out as I got in a little early to watch hockey highlights. And in watching it, I don't know if I'm feeling like it's October and the season started. I don't know if it's supposed to be playoffs, what it is. It's August and we're in full hockey mode. So I'm pretty good and pretty excited. How you doing?
Same. Yeah. And I am the same. I took my nap yesterday, watched some hockey as I went into nap mode.
Yeah.
Mentioned yesterday, perfect nap day, rain falling, woke up, watched the Leafs-Blue Jackets game, morphed right into the Jets and Flames. That one ended, watched a bit of Carolina in New York, then got into the first period of Minnesota-Vancouver. So my eyes are basically in the same shape as television set this morning.
Yeah, and conceptually, are we going to see a play in next year, 24 teams? Maybe at some point they do. It'd be a best of one, certainly going to be a best of five. But for the way this is played out, and hey, we had our first sweep yesterday, so the Carolina Hurricanes got to hunker down, probably have a week off, might need a tune-up game against somebody in the parking lot. But the way this is set up for the National Hockey League, the way the series have gone on, and got to admit as well, a lot of people don't want to hear, becoming a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs after watching them in game one, and especially yesterday, recognizing, hey, that's a pretty good hockey team, and they're going to, should they get through in this round, which they sure hope they do. I really don't want to watch any more Columbus. I appreciate what they're doing. They're going to be a tough out for one of the big four right now.
Okay, you are immediately off the Blue Jackets bandwagon.
Very much so. Yeah, no, and it's not even the bandwagon. It's just watching and kind of, hey, appreciating. We had hyped them. We had hyped their D pairing and Tortorella, wondered about the goaltending. Then you watch them for a few games, and then you just realize, hey, this is just a fallback retreat hockey team. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, after two games, to be quite honest with you, it's not even close. And I appreciate what they're doing. But boy, that club's going to have to rebuild in a hurry, because that forward group just doesn't have enough skill.
Yeah, well, they don't. Yeah, they're going to have difficulty scoring enough to win the series. I was completely impressed with Toronto yesterday, as you were, and most people who watched the game were. But I also think it's entirely possible Columbus rediscovers what they did in game one. I don't think this series is over by any means. Toronto has been the better team by far. I don't know about that, but they've had a decided edge so far. But listen, Korpisalo is playing out of his mind right now.
For sure.
He can absolutely steal this series.
Yeah, no. And again, in a best of five, that's what it's all about. But my thought, kind of big picture, preference on wanting to watch Columbus go into another series in the next round and kind of grind it out and dumb it down a little bit, or watch Toronto play against somebody. I would much prefer to watch the Toronto Maple Leafs in the next round. And for Sens fans, a silver lining, nobody would ever be upset if Lafreniere ends up going to Columbus, right? So this is perfect. Toronto can go in and play against Boston, lose in the seventh game, and everybody goes into the fall happy, right?
I've seen enough of that, Simmer.
No, I know.
What's your over-under on the departure time of the New York Rangers from Toronto Island Airport?
Wow.
9 a.m. this morning,
I'm just wondering even if some guy scaled the wall last night. Hey, it might have just been, hey, wow. I'm out of here. What a different... Now, I don't know necessarily in their locker room what their headspace was at, but a dark horse until I switched my pick to Carolina, which is now no longer anybody's dark horse, just recognizing that one's a hell of a hockey team. But for Rangers, big picture, they are in a rebuild, but I'm still a little shocked that all of a sudden, boom, you're headed home.
Well, the big boys were disappointing, I think, for New York. There's no doubt about that. I mean, Panarin and Zibanejad didn't really get anything accomplished, and that was if they were going to pull the upset.
Yeah,
that was what was going to carry the day, was that line and that pairing in particular, and they just never got going. And Sebastian Aho was just playing out of his head. I mean, it was just ridiculous. He had 8 points in the three games, including a 3-point night last night, and. Boy, you look at it right now, if you're a Montreal Canadiens fan, you go, why didn't Marc Bergevin up that by about $2 million a year and make Carolina think twice about matching that that free agent offer last year?
Yeah, and even at that, if you're the Aho camp, do you really look at that and say, hey, should we have accepted that? What kind of a payday would you have gotten going forward? But this is to the Carolina team. That is a talented group, and also It was so interesting with Rob Brindamore, and we had this conversation post-show. I was talking about Jim Schoenfeld back in 88, had Sean Burke, and after a victory, switched out the goaltenders, I think went with Bob Solve. Like, that cocky, and not cocky, very gutsy and confident move, throwing James Reimer in. I know it's 3-4 nights, but you've won two games. Mrazek has been outstanding. To have the confidence to do that, man, it's just when you're kind of moving along, and as a coach, you feel like, hey, you know what, you got a pulse of your hockey team. I thought that was a really gutsy move yesterday. And they locked it down. A little bit of luck for the old Rhymes doing his usual kind of Mike Palmateer around the net. But that's, hey, it's amazing when you have the confidence, some of the bold moves you'll make.
Yeah, late game last night. If you didn't stay up to watch it, Vancouver gets back in their series with Minnesota. A full value, not as close as the final score would indicate, 4-3 win for the Canucks. So that series also even a game apiece. Although Tyler Toffoli is apparently in a walking boot, did not play in the game last night.
Yeah.
And no word yet on how significant the injury is to Tyler Toffoli. Foley, but that will be a bigger miss. They acquired him at the trade deadline, gave up some pretty decent assets to get him. So that creates a bit of a hole in the Vancouver lineup. But at least last night they were able to overcome it to, as we said, tie that series. The Flames beat the Jets. So Calgary's up 2-1 in that series with game four going tomorrow. Six different goal scorers in a 6-2 win for the Flames. And for the Jets, you just got to feel sorry for them at this point. They have so many injuries. Scheifele and Laine went out in the first game. Mason Appleton, who's a pretty useful down the lineup guy, also was injured in that first game. Then yesterday, Tucker Poolman, who's one of their kind of, 5-6-D, but an important guy, he takes a shot in the face. He comes back. Did you see the swelling on his cheek
when he came back? No.
I've seen some good grapefruits in my day.
Yeah.
The side of the cheek, like he got cut kind of right underneath the jawline. Took a slap shot, maybe a snapshot from Backlund. Pretty significant cut. Comes back, and Goiter sells it short. Okay, I think grapefruit. It was a grapefruit size.
Wow.
I mean, you could barely get the cage over top of it. It looked like it was that the swelling was that significant. And then Matthew Perreault got injured as well. Tried to come back, and he was out for the rest. So they're missing four forwards out of their top 12.
Yeah, and if you go back a year ago, the lineup, and hey, you've got a blue line that had been decimated. You've got the Will. You've got guys like Perreault that are oft injured, and then all of a sudden it's not enough. And the positive for both Vancouver and Calgary, you know what, when you're going to win, and Travis Green said it, hey, you know what, it's nice when your bottom six play well, but if the big boys don't show up and don't be productive in a playoff, you're not going to end up winning. And for both Calgary and Vancouver, that was a nice part last night, including JT Miller, who crazily, JR, in 63 playoff games, that was just his fourth goal that he scored. So that was a big one for Calgary, and I think both of those teams feeling pretty good about themselves right now.
Yeah, absolutely. New York Islanders beat Florida by a score of 4-2. So the Islanders have a chance to sweep that series. That's a noon face-off today. And, of course, that one has some significance and interest to Ottawa Senator fans because the Sens holding the Islanders' first-round pick. If New York goes on to win the series, be it today or at some point in the next three games, then the Sens know for sure they will have the Islanders' pick, first-round pick in this year's draft, although it will be down the order some way, probably toward the 20 window.
Yeah.
Unless the Islanders make the Final Four, then you know it's one of the Final Four picks in the first round. But in all likelihood, we'll be around 20, 21, 22, somewhere in that range. Not as good as it could have been at 13, but still a first-round pick in a very deep draft. So that's why this series and these games are important and interesting to Ottawa fans.
Well, and if you go back on it, hey, that ability to get that for Pageau, if you're not going to re-sign him, he gets the contract, you get the pick. And when you look at the combination of the Ottawa and San Jose picks, I think if you're Pierre Dorion and staff, you're absolutely thrilled. And to the Islanders, hey, they're a tough out for anybody, but I really look at the top seven, and I don't include them in it. If they're the eighth team, like I said, they'll be tough. They're tactically very good. But at the end of the day, for the Sens, take your chances, take the pick, and let's move on to round one.
All right. So there we go. We kind of went through the NHL. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get into it more in depth, and we'll talk more about what went down with Jake Muzzin and get you the very latest on the injury to the Leafs defenseman, which is pretty scary as it all unfolded yesterday. And we'll get you the latest on where we're at with Jake Muzzin and his condition after a pretty scary incident late in that Leafs win over Columbus. We'll have that for you. We'll get you caught up on all the basketball, the return to play. Tell you what, the NBA, you talk about NHL being really good right off the hop. So is the NBA. These games have been fantastic. Down in the bubble, we'll get you caught up on that. The Ottawa Blackjacks blow a chance to clinch a playoff spot in the summer series as they fell by 2 last night. And now it's all down to one game tonight versus Saskatchewan. The winner will move on to the playoffs this weekend and the loser is going home. We'll have that game for you, 7:30 here on TSN 1200. And the Blue Jays finally got back to playing as well after being off since last Thursday. Didn't go so well down in Atlanta. We'll tell you about that as well. So we got lots straight ahead. Pierre McGuire will join us. We'll talk more hockey with Anson Carter, former NHLer from the NHL on NBC. So we got a busy show. We're glad you're with us here on a Wednesday morning. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Majors Pool presented by Royal LePage Team Realty. As the first major of the golf season, the PGA Championship will kick off tomorrow morning. It's out in San Francisco. So the earliest tee times are 10 a.m. our time, 7 a.m., but we need your picks by 8 a.m. Tomorrow morning. That's the deadline. You got yours done, Simmer?
Locked and loaded.
Okay.
Nice combination of familiar names up top. Tiger Woods, I never take Sergio Garcia, and then everybody else is just names on the are names that I like. And I always...
Why do you never take Sergio?
I don't like him. I've never liked him. A little more after winning the Masters, but just had never been a huge fan. And I always take Matt Kuchar. I have no idea why.
He looks like a dumb.
I don't know. And even then after the whole thing with our good friend dropping bombs, Phil Mickelson, I didn't take that old lefty there.
Lefty was in the last pool, by the way.
Yeah.
For those wondering, by the way, it isn't sort of ranked. We have, I think, 10 different groups. It's not like the top six guys are all together. There is, and it's a third party that puts this whole thing together those wondering.
Okay.
But it is people of likability or like story. Maybe all former champions might be in one group. So for anybody thinking, hey, why do they got this guy with this guy? There is method behind the madness.
And it was about 5:40 a.m. So I'm having my coffee kind of waking up. I did not see a single Canadian in the pool. Am I wrong to say that?
I do not believe that there is any included.
Good that I was able to, because I would have went with him, especially Adam Hadwin, I think you mentioned yesterday, but did not see anybody. So locked and loaded and ready to go.
Three Canadians, by the way, will tee it up. You mentioned Adam Hadwin, Mackenzie Hughes, and Nick Taylor are the three Canadians that will tee it up. Bundy, you got your picks in?
Already in.
All right.
Team Beard's ready to go.
Team Beard, love it. Team JR will win again, or perhaps not. The key thing is to try to get your guys to make the cut.
Yeah.
Because the way the scoring works is, if any of you guys miss the cut, it's whoever finishes with the worst score who plays the four rounds plus another stroke. So in other words, if the worst score after four rounds is plus 19, all your guys that miss the cut will be plus 20.
Yeah.
So essentially, you're out of it if you pick a guy that misses the cut. So that's the big key.
And it'd be great to see you do well. I don't feel in the past year you've been quite as dominant on some of these. After I took you down four times in fantasy football,
don't get me started on the fantasy football thing, okay? Do not even go there, all right?
This will be an interesting year to do fantasy football, right?
That's 2020, anything can happen, Summer?
Oh, my God.
Team COVID will rule the day
there. For sure.
All right, so get your picks in. Again, 8 a.m. tomorrow is the deadline for our TSN 1200 Majors Pool presented by Royal LePage Team Realty. If your collective team is better than anybody else, you win the grand prize, which is your very own Google Home for you to listen to TSN 1200 at your leisure in your home and basically do anything else you want at home, because those things are really amazing. That's our grand prize. And one person will win it all. Get your picks into us at some point within the next 24 hours. All right, 6:24. Let's take it back to the NHL story from last night. We'll start with Leafs and Blue Jackets. And Toronto was all over Columbus right from the drop of the puck, laying some hits, making some plays, getting some shots, but no goals until late in the second period.
Matthews to center. In on the right side, Hyman. Hyman trying to get it back. They score! Holy mackerel! Finally, it's Austin Matthews tipping it in.
It took almost five periods, but finally they solved Jonas Korpisalo in the Columbus net for the 1-0 goal. Tavares would score in a breakaway in the third, and then Morgan Rielly into an empty net. 3-0 is the final. Freddie Anderson gets the shutout. The series is now even at a game apiece.
Yeah, and love Freddie Anderson. The few chances the Jackets had when it was zip-zip. Boy, he's looked sharp, big, athletic. He is a monster in goal. And as far as Toronto, hey, big boy showed up. Last night you got Tavares responded. Game two, 8 shots on goal. And Austin Matthews is starting to, no surprise, after the season he had 47 goals, JR. But just that feeling of kind of hop on my back. And one of the bad line changes. And Dubois, I believe, on that shift decided to go off. And old Torts lost it. Ends up scoring. And I think a real positive for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Again, short series and respectful of Columbus, the style they play in the goaltending. But I like what I've seen out of the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first two games, and very positive going forward.
Yeah, if they play like they did yesterday, there's no way they're going to lose the series, but I also think that Columbus wasn't necessarily on top of their game. Here's head coach John Tortorella with a blunt assessment of that.
Hey, John, you spent most of the night, it seemed, defending. What do you need to do? What needs to change for you to have more time in their zone and create more offense?
You know what, guys? Start with you, Portsy. I just want to I'm not going to break the game down at all. Toronto played a really good game. We sucked. But I'm not interested. It doesn't help our club right now to break it down with you guys, so I hope you can understand that.
Just the scene with Jake Muzzin there at the end, that had to be tough for everybody involved to kind of see something like that.
Yeah, like hope he's okay.
Is there anything you saw out of the guys early in the game where they just didn't have it, or did you sense something?
Toronto was really good. We sucked.
John, you mostly got away with it, but the five penalty kills tonight, I think you killed them all off, but how much did that just screw up any sense of getting on top of this game?
Toronto was really good. We sucked.
I wonder if Torts actually walks into the dressing room and basically says, guys, Toronto was really good tonight, and we sucked.
Yeah, and you know what is interesting, Jared, has really changed over the years in junior hockey and the American Hockey League, the NHL. I think people would be a little surprised, as at least when I played, it was almost always that the coach would come in. There's a lot of times where coaches don't even go into the players. You know, it's like, hey, you know what? There's so much emotion going on, win or lose. You know, if you knock a team off, you might roll in. But, hey, you just head to your office, you regroup. And this will be interesting as we get to Thursday and Friday night for that style. And obviously, the pivotal game is going to be Game 3. But if you continue to have them back on their heels, you continue to wear down Seth Jones, Werenski, the entire group, as we now have a Thursday-Friday matchup. That's going to be real key right there. If the Toronto Maple Leafs continue to keep them on their heels, not having the rest, now you know they'll come out and play a much stronger game. I think they'll get a little bit more aggressive on Thursday.
Well, they got home ice advantage now.
Well, yeah, exactly. but that Thursday-Friday, that's where if you're looking, hey, you're smelling a little blood if you're a Toronto Maple Leafs, and let's see. Hey, that's been one of the problems with this club is the inability to really kind of grab a hold of it, and they should be able to grab a hold of it right now.
Well, there is potentially, though, one speed bump on there, and that is, and you heard it mentioned during that back and forth with John Tortorella, the injury to Jake Muzzin, which occurred late in the game when he was kind of wheeling behind his own net. Pierre-Luc Dubois kind of gave him a shove from behind, kind of caught him up high. He awkwardly... The whole thing kind of played out. He was trying to regain his balance. Eventually, yeah, kind of just crashed to the ice, and then went right into the knee with the side of his head of a Columbus player. Yeah. Fell to the ice, kind of got up, and then leaned back. And then you kind of realized, as the trainer came out, that this was maybe a little more serious than you initially thought. Because as I said, at one point he was kind of sitting up, and you thought, okay, he's kind of got tuned up here a little bit, but should be fine. Eventually, they rolled a stretcher out, had to stretcher him off. Now, the word from the Maple Leafs after the game, and we don't have an update since then, but he was taken to hospital. He was alert and did have feeling in all of extremities. So you know, your initial really worst fears are laid right there. But as for any kind of prognosis, we do not have any update from the Maple Leafs other than that from last night.
Yeah, and a huge decision. Now, you're a trainer, you're on the ice, you're in the bubble. Well, obviously, you're just thinking about the athlete's health, so decision to take him to the hospital. Now the question is, when can he actually enter back into the bubble itself? So there's all these different little worlds. I looked at it, and it was a series of unfortunate events is kind of the way you watch it, right? And you used the term, and I thought maybe he just kind of jammed his neck and had a bit of a stinger, but hey, professional trainers and doctors know a whole lot more, so obviously they felt there was a rationale or a reason to send him to the hospital.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned now that he's out of the bubble and taken to hospital, the initial or the health and safety protocols, anybody that leaves the bubble automatically has to go into quarantine for 4 days when they come back. And so that would for sure put him out for games 3 and 4.
Yeah.
There has been some word since then that because this is, I'll call it a special case, or a different case, the National Hockey League may choose to not necessarily follow that protocol.
Yeah.
That was the later word last night. I don't think there's anything official. First of all, we don't even know the status of Jake Muzzin, whether even if he is healthy enough to play, whether he could play or not. And that's the biggest and most concerning part of all. But it will be interesting to see if he's fine when he wakes up this morning. and is all good, whether the NHL says, okay, come on back in, and you're good to go for game three.
Yeah, and in the big picture of the National Hockey League, first time you've had a situation like this, do you feel secure enough about from the time he's on the ice to the ambulance to a part of a hospital to then go from the hospital back into the bubble? Is there something in the future that you could do? Now, again, you're always looking at first and foremost, what's the athlete's health, but can you reintroduce him as far as physicality and certainly experience and Stanley Cup pedigree? He's a big part of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Do I think that's going to be a deciding factor in the series? No, but it's certainly a loss for the Leafs, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and if he's gone for, and if the Leafs win the series, but he's gone for any series of time, that is a significant. First of all, defense is the worst part of their game.
Yeah.
And he and Justin Hall are the shutdown D pair, so they get up in a first-round series. They're going to play one of the big boys in the Eastern Conference. That would not be good. But again, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves on this. You know, again, initially I thought, well, okay, he's kind of banged up a little bit, but they were being very cautious, which is what they absolutely should do. So we'll have to wait and see, and I'm sure we'll get an update at some point this morning on Jake Muzzin and his potential return to play at some point with the Maple Leafs. Game four, by the way, is now scheduled for Thursday night. It will be an 8 o'clock game tomorrow night for game three, and as you mentioned, game four is going to go on Friday. So back-to-back for the games three and four in the series.
Yeah, and you go through that Toronto Maple Leafs lineup. Amazing when you think of the difference pre-deadline. There's no Clifford in the trade from L.A. Mikhaev is out with the injury. Engvall, well, who we like, not in for game one. You switch it around a little bit. You mix in some skill. Am I still a little nervous about the top end being a little bit light? Maybe. But what a different feel that gives. And I think we ruined it for Coffee Kukin yesterday because Mr. Clifford, first of all, leaving his feet just absolutely
leveled.
You think
that should have a penalty?
Oh my, are you kidding me?
it was charging, headshots.
It was everything. Like, okay, listen, I'm going to absorb the contact here, but I'm trying to make a play. And I got a guy, that's just old school. That's old school Darcy Tucker. And Bunda loved it. And that's what scares me because he's leaving his feet right there.
I like Clifford's beard. Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah, but it does. It gives them a different feel of at least for that mix. And again, certainly Muzzin on the back end, that tipping point of when you have some injuries to that group ends up looking so soft. They got a pretty good balance right now.
Yeah, and but when you see, you know, Toronto's having a good game, when you see, first of all, they're getting on the body, which they don't, I don't think that's a natural for them, but Austin Matthews was, very physical in that game.
Yeah.
And if there's, I think a criticism of him is that he's got great size, but he doesn't necessarily use it as much as he could.
Yeah.
That if he ever did bring that element to his game, and I'm not talking about running guys through the boards. I'm just talking about using your size a little bit more.
Big time.
Boy, oh boy, that would be a huge, huge boon to him.
Well, and just watch Evgeny Malkin. You know, and when you watch Austin Matthews skate around at times, you almost feel like a Mark Messier, where, as you said, there's not a whole lot you have to do. Once in a while, get the elbows up a little bit high, use some size. I also think for the way that he's played so far, first two games, is that the fact that Seth Jones is engaging has almost brought him into the fight, and very quietly, and a very quiet competitor is John Tavares in the way he wants to play. And if you go and watch his goals, JR, most of the time, he's scoring them in the dirty areas. So that 1-2 combo that they have right now, that bodes well for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Very strong win for the Leafs last night. 3-0 is the final, so the series is 1-1 with game three going tomorrow night. Columbus will get last change, and you would think a matchup guy like Coach Tortorella will try to take advantage of that. Late game last night, Minnesota and Vancouver. This one was tied after one. Let's take it early in the second.
JT Miller gaining the Minnesota line. Miller shoots and scores. JT Miller with a scorching wrister from the left circle to the Canucks. Reclaim the lead 2-1.
Oh, I love my scorching wristers. I like my wristers, I like my Minnesota wristers that Lance Pitlick was known for, but I like my scorching wristers off the stick of JT Miller. That's the go-ahead goal in what eventually would be a 4-3 Vancouver win. That series also tied at one.
Well, and you also, if you're going to have a scorching wrister, a little curl and drag is always nice too, right?
Yep.
Just a little
curl
around,
and drag into a scorching wrister?
Yeah.
Because that's more of a snap, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess, but a little bit of sauce on it up top, and for JT Miller.
A little
bit of
the sound of the bar too, right?
Well, it was, and then there were some sweet goals last night. You watch some of these on highlights, guys, and you see Barkov's goal to some of the short side. You had Vancouver scoring like that. And for JT Miller, leading scorer in the regular season, I think 71 points for the Vancouver Canucks. Great pickup for a first-round pick. But it was crazy, JR, a couple of years ago, I put out the great tweet about what a an acquisition JT Miller is for Tampa Bay. A lot of playoff pedigree. Then I pulled up his stats and I realized I got to delete that bad boy before anybody grabs a hold of it. In 63 playoff games, he has 4 goals.
That doesn't seem very good.
Well, yeah, and he's kind of a big body that traditionally has disappeared, but he scores. I think Vancouver overall feels pretty good about their game, and that was a big win for Canucks.
Mentioned that Tyler Toffoli sat out that game. Apparently he's got some sort of a foot injury, if it's to be believed behind the scenes. People reporting that he was in a walking cast yesterday, a walking boot, sort of foot injury, so we'll see if that is significant enough to keep him out of the lineup for Game 3. But with him out, that moves Brock Besser onto the line. And by the way, it's the first time I heard it. Maybe it's out there and well-known. So when Besser plays with Pettersson and with Miller, Miller wears 9, Pettersson wears 40, and Besser wears 6. What do you think they call that line?
Lotto 649.
The 649 line. I thought that was pretty good.
That's actually pretty good.
First time I heard that last night.
Yeah.
The more you know, indeed.
Yeah.
So anyway, Brock Besser played on that top line. They were dominant. Vancouver was full value for the victory. Don't let the 4-3 final score fool you. The Minnesota Wild got a couple of goals late, but Vancouver was by far the better team on the night.
Yeah.
And they've now evened the series, I'm sure. As the saying goes, feeling much better about themselves this morning.
Well, and if you're Minnesota or Vancouver, I guess you just say, hey, first game is a young crew. You had Hughes got his first point as a playoff guy last night, and you kind of go through that, and they turned that into a pace game, where Minnesota, at the end of the day, they want to turn it into a street fight. And Vancouver, just overall, just like a Toronto, you have to feel pretty good about yourself after a couple of games.
Yeah, so 1-1 and a game 3, and that series will go, I think it's tomorrow afternoon. They're going to have an afternoon game tomorrow for Game 3 in that series. The other series involving Canadian teams is the all-Canadian matchup, Calgary and Winnipeg. That one was 1-1 going into a Game 3 yesterday, and Calgary wins it by a score of 6-2, six different goal scorers for the Flames. We mentioned in the first segment the Jets are just dealing with all kinds of injuries right now, and the Flames were, I think, pretty full value for the win. It's just a decimated Jets team right now. And while they keep getting the first goal in all three games, they aren't able to sustain it. And right now, I'll say that Connor Hellebuyck has been good, but not regular season good.
No,
and if the Jets are going to be able to overcome all these injuries, he's going to have to be the difference. And so far through three games, I don't think that he has been.
No, I agree. You turn on and you watch a Korpisalo, then you watch, say, Bobrovsky, and you realize the holes and the bad goals. And for Hellebuyck, not bad, but that combination of that, and then when you look at their power play, really, right on the back end, and certainly with Laine and Scheifele out, there's no threat there anymore. And that combination of the goaltending and the power play, you're not getting a whole lot done. And for any of the teams, I think with the time off, the try will take you so far, but in a shortened series like this, this is not going to end up very hard to sustain, even at a best of 5.
All right, so we'll go through the rest of the scores throughout the rest of the morning, including our first team eliminated, the New York Rangers, as Carolina beat the Rangers 4-1 last night to sweep the series in 3 straight. Sebastian Aho, if there is a play-in series MVP, be pretty hard to beat with 3 goals and 8 points in the 3 games. Didn't know his name was nickname was Fishy. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
All right. So I heard James Reimer refer to him as Fishy last night. So I need to find out why. If there's a sleuth out there that knows why Sebastian Aho is nicknamed Fishy, I'd love to know. Anyway, he was spectacular in that game and in that series so far. So the Carolina Hurricanes are round 2. Sounds crazy to say. They're on to round 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah. The Islanders can sweep the Panthers with a win today. We'll get into the rest of the hockey stuff as the morning rolls on. Talk to Pierre McGuire live from Edmonton. He will join us after 8. And Anson Carter, the former NHLer, now studio analyst with the NHL and NBC, he will join us after 9. So lots of hockey to get to. Your thoughts always welcome on anything you've seen so far. You can text us at 12-1200. You can tweet at us at TSN 1200. You can join us on the phone lines anytime at 750-1200. We'll take a break when we come back. The Blue Jays get back after it after a 5-day lull. Didn't go so well down in Atlanta. And get you caught up on all the NBA stuff and the Blackjacks. Oh, man, a heartbreaking loss last night. And now it's all down to 1 game tonight to try to make the Summer Series playoffs. We'll get into all of that when we come back here on TSN 1200. Crazily enough, there's 2 Sebastian Ahos. Although the Islander guy is a defenseman. I don't even know if he's playing with them right now or he's a scratch or an AHL guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, the guy with Carolina is really good.
Yeah.
I heard James Reimer post-game last night refer to him as Fishy.
Yeah.
And I said, why is he Fishy? and two different texters. Okay. And I'm not sure if they're talking out of their backsides.
Okay, okay.
But they both came up with the surmise the same thing.
Yeah.
I think the nickname comes from the word ahi. Yellowfin tuna is often marketed as ahi from the Hawaiian name ahi. That was one.
Okay.
Aho, fishy. Yeah. Ahi, tuna.
Okay.
That's what I do. I drink,
okay. Yeah.
And I know things.
Well, that's good. No, yeah.
But ahi is not aho.
No. And when I start thinking about that, is he? He's the Finnish one, or is he the Swedish one? He's the Finn, right?
He's the Finn.
Yeah. They like eating quite a bit of fish over there.
Okay.
But I don't know. At least it's creative, though, right? And that is a bit of a, instead of sabi or sebi and aho, I don't know what the hell you do with that. But at least it's a little bit of fun.
Yes, I like that.
No, I was going to say, like, Hornquist horny. You got fishy. You get into some different things there. At least, like I say, having a little fun with it.
Yeah, well, the Islanders, aho hasn't played with them since the 2017-18 year.
Okay.
So he's been with the Sound Tigers the last two seasons.
We have not updated our depth charts yet, but we have confirmed that Colin Greening is working in the stock market in Chicago. We really need to update some of our other depth charts.
I still think he's the captain of the Marlies. I don't know.
Yeah, listen, it's been 4.5 months, man. I only have so much brain space for so many NHL players.
Exactly.
Okay? There is a capacity. Yeah. A maximum capacity, which I have reached. I do not have room for the second Sebastian Aho.
No. That's... And as we expanded the playoffs to 24, that eliminates a lot of those bottom names, right?
Yes.
Your brain has been, hey, I got to make room for 8 more teams here. Guys like Aho just get pushed straight out.
Well, that's where Dean Kukin comes in, right? You
exactly.
get your Dean. And of all guys, we're going on about Dean Kukin and how we'd like to have a coffee and a Kukin before the game.
Oh.
And then he gets rocked by Kyle Clifford.
Poor Dino. He thought he was having coffee, Kukin.
Oh, my.
It was actually that time of day as well, around 4 o'clock.
Little late afternoon snack. All right. Speaking of Sebastian Aho, I threw this out after the game last night. When you think back to that 2016 World Juniors, the one in Finland that Finland won, and that was the Jesse Puljujärvi, Patrick Laine, Sebastian Aho. That was the top line. And coming out of that World Juniors that they won, it was all about Puljujärvi. Right, and then it was a coming out party for Patrick Laine for
big
most
time.
People,
yeah.
Right, and Sebastian Aho, nobody really even talked about. He had already been drafted at that point. He was in the 2015 draft, went in early in the second round to Carolina. Coincidentally enough, one pick before Ottawa took Gabriel Gagne. What might have been.
Regardless.
Now you look at it, Simmer, and of course we all know how the draft worked out in that summer's draft. Laine goes number two, Puljujärvi surprisingly slides to four. Right now he's not even in the NHL. And I think right now if I were to give you a choice of the top two guys, of Aho or Laine, would you take Aho over Laine at this point?
You know what, it would be darn close, but with the centerman, the consistency, am I a Laine fan? Did I thought he showed some maturity this year? Absolutely. But no, for the effect that you have on a hockey game, no, it's a great conversation. And hey, credit to drafting. You go back to that as well. Caroline on the fifth book took Noah Hanifin. It's just amazing when you go back and review drafts where a guy like this would end up being picked. But no, he is, and no surprise, one of the reasons Montreal gave the offer sheet last couple of years is a very, because of the market, but a very quiet superstar or star in the National Hockey League.
8 points in the three games for Carolina in their sweep of the New York Rangers, and they are going to be the Carolina Hurricanes. We'll talk more about this throughout the morning and with Pierre and Anson Carter, but the Carolina Hurricanes, whoever they end up meeting, one of the four big boys in the East, I wonder if, based on what the four teams have said, seen, that they'll position themselves, and again, there's no way you can do it, but position themselves to not finish in the spot where they have to take on Carolina in the first round.
Yeah, no.
That's a tough team, man.
No, it really is. And now, and I put this out on Twitter this morning, I'll ask you, my power ranking in the National Hockey League, which we didn't think would ever change, if I was to say the best 10 teams in the National Hockey League, well, you go with the four big boys in the East, I'm going Pittsburgh, Carolina, Toronto, and then in the West, I'd end up going Vegas, St. Louis, and Colorado. To me, those are the 10 best teams in the National Hockey League. And I think
seven in the East.
Seven in the East.
Wow.
Would you agree with that?
Who did you leave out of the big boys in the West then? Dallas?
I don't feel that with Dallas at all.
Yeah, you know, no, I'm not disputing that. And I'm kind of going through the rest of it out west: Calgary, Winnipeg, Vancouver, Minnesota, Edmonton, Chicago. Definitely. I think Arizona, Nashville for sure.
Big transition to the California teams.
Yeah, so. you're right. Yeah, I would just definitely. And who do we have on yesterday that said? Oh, it was Jim Montgomery, right? Said the power is in the East, right?
Yeah,
the East is much deeper 1 through 8. Like the four teams, and I know you don't think the Islanders are quite at that level, but they're still going to be a tough out for somebody.
Oh, for sure. For
that,
sure.
That top eight in the East that is going to play in the first round, there's going to be some wicked matchups.
Yeah, no, there really will be. And it gets you excited as a hockey fan as we're kind of looking at this and thinking, hey, now for any of those four at first, I'm thinking, okay, well, five is Pittsburgh. That's going to be tough. Carolina is a whole lot of fun to watch. Mix in the way Toronto played last night. And if I was trying to position, though, and respectful of the Islanders, but if you had gave me a choice of who I wanted to play in the next round as one of the big four big boys, I'll take my chances with the Islanders.
All right, more hockey talk throughout the morning. Love your feedback as well. Text us at 12-1200, 652. Late last night, the Ottawa Blackjacks played an important game last night here on TSN 1200. It is the summer series going on down in St. Catharines. They had a chance to clinch a spot in the playoff round with a win over Niagara. They had a big lead early. Then, and this is the old Elam ending with the target score. So the game was tied at 71 when the first whistle blew after 4 minutes were left in the game, which means the target score is 80. The Blackjacks were up 79-76. They needed one more point. It's now 79-79. One more point wins it. Here we go.
Pierre Charles, Moonis Tutu in the lane, puts it up, no good, rebound grabbed by Bell Haynes. He's out on the run, they have numbers, Trey Bell Haynes for the win! He does it! Trey Bell Haynes keeps the River Lions alive! The River Lions are going to the knockout round! The Ottawa Blackjacks will play a do-or-die game tomorrow against the Saskatchewan Rattlers.
There you go. That's the way it ended, end-to-end. The Blackjacks miss a potential game-winning shot. And right down to the other end for the game-winning layup, Niagara beats Ottawa 81-79. So as our play-by-play man mentioned right there, it's down to one final game now. The 2-3 Blackjacks will take on 1-4 Saskatchewan Rattlers. The winner will move on to the playoffs, and the loser is going to be done. 7:30 tonight right here on TSN 1200.
Yeah, and when you presented this formula at the beginning, JR, where six of the seven teams, I kind of thought two wins was a guarantee you're moving on.
Yeah.
It's kind of well, so
that's how close it is.
Well,
I mean, Edmonton is 5-1.
Yeah.
At this point, everybody else is either 3 or 2 wins.
Yeah.
So that's how tight it is. And again, I mean, we're talking about teams for the most part that remake them. Well, Ottawa's an expansion team, so while a bunch of guys have played together at Carleton, you know, that they're all getting used to each other, and all of these guys, they got together for, 10 days ago, to
sure.
create a team. So, I would think that continuity is always a huge thing in team sports, and yeah, they played 5 or 6 games now, but you need a lot of reps together to get it. So that's why we're kind of seeing anybody can beat anybody on a given night.
Yeah, and also for any of those guys, hey, this is fun to play, fun to make and get onto a playoff, but probably lots of other guys singing, probably be fun to return to normal life as well.
Yeah, exactly. They've been in the bubble, in St. Catharines. So again, that game, do or die for the Blackjacks tonight at 7:30 here on TSN 1200. If they win, they will move on to, I don't think they can get into the top two, which gets you to a bye in the semifinals. Again, teams are so closely bunched. I'll have to wait and see on that. But in all likelihood, they for sure would advance to the quarterfinal. Those two quarterfinals would go on Thursday, tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then the semis and the championship game will go on the weekend.
Yeah, and for athletes now in this bubble world, this idle time that you have, it'd be really interesting, JR, if you ask, hey, I'd probably prefer to keep playing than sitting around. What will present itself for the National Hockey League right now, and I don't think they're going to arrange an exhibition game, Carolina Hurricanes are looking at a full week off, right?
And I
guess that's kind of nice, but this is where it can be a bit of a drag, right? Hey, this is fun. How do you stay prepared? How do you stay focused? I guess a little easier in the bubble, but I don't think anybody expected that. They're probably not going to start that next round of the playoffs until probably next Tuesday.
Yeah.
So full week off for the Canes.
For sure it doesn't start till next week. Monday is the first all day off, and that will be capped by the Alexis Lafreniere unveiling. I'm assuming that will be a Monday night, but Monday is the first dark night as far as the NHL playoffs go, and then round two, or sorry, you have to create a fine jar of how many times you're going to say round two. Round one of the playoffs is going to start on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, I will go with whatever it is. So the important hockey games, the continued elimination. We should just go Sweet 16. Let's start stealing a little basketball.
Right? Yeah, Raptors will face Orlando today. They're trying to go 3-0 in the bubble. A blow for the Memphis Grizzlies yesterday, who are trying to hang on to eighth place in the West. Jaren Jackson, their star forward, has got 25, averaging 25 points a game. Diagnosed with a torn meniscus, suffered in a game on the weekend, so he is out for the rest of the regular season and any playoffs that Memphis may qualify for. And again, the way it works in the NBA, I got this interesting formula where if the ninth place team in either conference is within four games of the eighth place team, then those two teams will play a two-game series. The ninth place team has to sweep both games to get into the playoffs. The eighth place team only needs to win one of the two. But right now the Grizzlies have a pack of four teams that are all within three games of them. So all four of those teams are all trying to get into ninth place. So they're all battling among themselves. Right now I think Portland is leading, but that is going to be a terrific race in the Western Conference for the right to get into the playoffs and in all likelihood get smoked by the L.A. Lakers in the first
round. Yeah, and at least as far as the national media yesterday in the United States, a real interesting conversation was what is going on with Zion Williamson, JR, and the managing of his minutes. And finally, the other night, playing down the stretch, they're one of those teams that's trying to chase and trying to get into a playoff. And just some curiosity as to a player that was injured in high school, injured in college, now managing his minutes as to exactly what's going on and at least watching his body type. Boy, it looks like he's packed on a bit of weight here, which has been a real concern for kind of his overall durability and kind of reshape his body. So that's an interesting conversation. And hey, with this time off, you hate to think that any of these athletes are any more vulnerable to injury. I guess injury can happen at any time.
Yeah.
But you feel bad for some of them.
Absolutely. I did want to make a note of one other sports event yesterday, and that was the so-called $175 million game yesterday in English soccer as Fulham played Brentford. So these two teams are in the championship level. So we got the Premiership, right? There's four levels in English soccer.
Yeah.
You get relegated if you finish in the bottom three into the championship level. That's the second division. And then the top three teams in the championship level move up. And the way that teams move up, the first two teams from the regular season, they move up automatically.
Yeah.
And then three plays six, four plays five, and then the winners of those two games meet in a one-game championship, I guess, to move on into the Premiership. And as we know, how much money is involved, television money, when you are in the Premiership. So this one game yesterday between Fulham and Brentford was for essentially about $175 million. That's how much they value a spot in the Premiership over 3 years.
Yeah.
If you were to remain there for 3 years, $175 million is what it's worth. The game eventually went to extra time. Fulham got it, two goals from Joe Barry, who hadn't, a defender hadn't scored since September, and wins it 2-1. So Fulham, which is a team from London, which was just in the Premiership last year and was relegated, is right back up again. And for Brentford, a team that's never been in the Premiership in its 74-year history, they were one goal away from making it, but they fall one goal short, and so they will remain in the championship round. But you want to talk about for all the marbles?
Yeah.
How about for $175 million on one game?
Oh, no, it's incredible. And just kind of get your head around on the system. I'm not a relegation fan, but I could also understand it sets up for intrigue. What generally happens to a lot of leagues as you drop down, JR, it's not just about that money, first of all, that you're not getting. It's about the total loss of sponsors, loss of fans, and certainly most of your players. Most of them have out in their contract, right, that, hey, if we're not in the top league, I'm so the fact that they were also able to rally and hop right back up, you don't generally see that, right? Because a lot of times financially you take such a big hit. That was pretty cool, and I saw yourself following it yesterday and AJ, and for soccer fans and just for where the world is at right now, that brought a pretty emotional, pretty exciting moment in soccer.
Absolutely. All right, 7 o'clock, we'll take a break, we'll get you the latest news from 580 CFRA, and then when we come back we'll take a trip around again. The National Hockey League playoffs, six games yesterday.